Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we talked about our motivation in the context of a question that we want to address all week, and that question is, who are you working for? Who are you working for? Why do you do what you do? Our motivation, for whom did you carry the stone? Today we want to talk about our security. I've had several dear friends who worked for an airline, which generally speaking was a secure company to be working for. It's Eastern Airlines. Some of you may remember Eastern Airlines. And these guys had been pilots in the military, and they were really brave men who served their country well in World War II. And then they got out, and they got a job in the commercial airline industry, and Eastern Airlines was a good company. And while I was their pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, they had retired at that point, and they had this wonderful, secure retirement because, you know, they had worked for the company faithfully, loyally all those years, and Eastern Airlines is going to look after them in retirement. But there was kind of a squeeze, and the pilots' union decided we need to go on strike for a better deal. So they went on strike, and Eastern tried to settle, and the pilots' union voted not to. I had a next-door neighbor at that time who was one of the pilots, and he said, some of the pilots thought we ought to take the deal, but, you know, we got to stick together. And so he continued to join the protest and so forth. Well, Eastern Airlines said, we just can't do what you're asking. You're going to bankrupt the company. And they wouldn't continue. And of course, meanwhile, when the planes aren't flying, people are not buying tickets. And Eastern Airlines went out of business. And when they went out of business, my friends who worked for them were out of work. Go try and find another job with a different airline when you're one of the guys who bankrupted the last company you worked for. And my friends who were living off their retirement from Eastern Airline found that it was not vested in such a way that, you know, their money was still safe. It was gone. It was gone. Because the promises the company had made were based on the idea that they're going to stay in business. They're not in business. They don't have money to pay. And so I had friends who went from having a very comfortable lifestyle in retirement to now having to go back to work, and they all became realtors. And some of them did okay, and some of them not so much. But here's the thing. When we decide that we're working for God, one of the things that comes with that is absolute security. Some groups refer to eternal security, meaning you're not going to lose your salvation. Better term for that is perseverance of the saints. But I digress. I want us to look at Romans 8 together. Familiar passage. We're going to start in verse 18. The whole chapter is great, but then again, so is the whole book. Romans 8, beginning in verse 18, and then focusing in 28 and following. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. The creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us, or for us, with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the postal service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters, and we're trusting God to reward you. He promised he will.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my
now,
name and they laugh.
I started back in verse 18 because I wanted to be sure to emphasize what also reappears down here in the more than conquerors section. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our present what? Sufferings. Sufferings? Does suffering make you insecure? Well, does it make you feel insecure? When I'm hurting, I'm uncertain of certain things. I mean, I start to wonder what's the outcome going to be. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is Lord, okay? Whatever happens, Jesus Christ is Lord. That doesn't change. That absolutely doesn't change. So we've got to reorient our security away from how we're feeling, how's our health, how's our money, I think we just read, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. You don't need those things. That's not what he said. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Your Heavenly Father knows you need all those things. But the pagans run after those things. You're not to do that. Your security is in him. If you got a job working for a, you know, huge conglomerate, okay? Let's say, I don't know, Hewlett-Packard, Google, whatever, some big firm that you're working for, and they reach out to you and they say, we need you to fly to Chicago. You don't say, how am I going to pay for the ticket? Where will I stay? What will I eat? You just say, when? They take care of the bills if they're sending you. God is sending us throughout this world to serve him. We don't have to worry about who's going to pay the bills. God said he would. He said take care of the whole thing. Jesus showed us it's possible to even walk on water. Well, that was Jesus. Well, it was Peter too. How'd Peter get to do that? Well, he said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said one word to him. He said, come. Come. That's all it took. On the authority of God's word, Peter was able to walk on the water. We can do whatever God tells us. We can do whatever God tells us. What if we think of something that'd be really neat, okay? And we want to do that, and it's like, okay, God, help me to do this. Don't count on it. May happen, maybe not. But if God tells us to do something, that we can do. That we can do. And he's already told us that our long-term position is not only secure, it's glorious. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Glory revealed in us. Consider what kind of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And it doesn't yet appear to us. We can't yet see what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We're not only going to see him, we're going to be like that too. It's more wonderful than we can imagine. It's beyond our comprehension. You and I, who are in Christ, are going to turn out like Jesus. I mean, is that mind-blowing? And one of the things Jesus says in John's gospel that has always just staggered me. He says to his Father, I want them to know that you love them in the same way that you love me. That's just, I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, that's tremendous. I know that. That was one of the first verses I memorized when I was a little kid. That's good. God loves everybody. Isn't that good? But, you know, he loves Jesus more. I mean, he loves us in spite of our sins, but Jesus is perfect. You know what? He not only forgives our sins, he robes us in the righteousness of Christ. And he loves us the same way he loves Jesus. Three biological kids, four adopted kids, some other kids we've taken guardianship of. But our biological kids undoubtedly had moments when they felt that certain ones were the favorite. Okay? I mean, that's just virtually inevitable. I don't care how good you are as a parent. Your kids are going to sometimes feel like you favor one over another, because sometimes you do. I've been asked before we adopted, do you love one of your kids more than the other? And I've said, no, I don't love one more than the other, but I definitely find some of them easier to be around. You understand? Then we adopted. And one of those kids in particular said to me on more than one occasion, well, we understand you're going to love your biological kids more than you're going to love us. And I said, that's not true. Oh, come on. No, it really isn't. Now, I will say this, that love is supernatural. But it is absolutely real, absolutely powerful. It comes from Him. It's not my nature. If we were going just on the basis of my nature, I wouldn't love anybody. I mean, you can imagine what a great spouse I'd be, because ultimately my relationship would be all about getting what I want, and this person is just there to serve me. But no, I mean, when I saw the way that my wife loves Jesus, I fell in love with her. That was the thing that drew me to her. And then I found out we both had the same call on our lives, and it was like, so this is the one. And it was really good news. And so I really love her, but that love comes from God. Or everything would be about me. And then we had children. And God gave us this overwhelming love for our kids. We didn't have to ask, you know, Lord, please help us to love our children. It's just, He put it there. And then we loved our adopted kids before we got them adopted. We adopted them because God put a love in our hearts for them. So God loves you. He loves you, Christian, the way that He loves Jesus. As staggering as that is, it's the Word of God. And having loved us so much that He gave His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, which I would never have done for anybody. Okay? I mean, I would not do that. If you needed a heart transplant, I wouldn't give you one of my kids' hearts, as long as they're living. Imagine. Say, well, okay, I mean, obviously you need it. I wouldn't give the life of my child for you. But God gave the life of His beloved Son for us. And now we wonder, is He really going to take care of me? Can I really count on Him? I mean, there's some suffering going on. There's some difficulty here. What sort of things should we expect? I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Well, what if this happens? Well, what if it does? Are you saying it might? Yeah, it might. Well, that would be horrible. It'd be temporary. It'd be temporary. The fact of the matter is, whatever we go through, it's an episode. Job suffered horribly. We can't imagine how terrible it was what he went through. But it was temporary. Now we talk about Job as ancient history. Probably the first book in the writing of the Bible, as far as when it was composed. Maybe that's what the scholars say. They could be right. The point is, It's over. As I've said countless times, Job didn't have the advantage of having read the book of Job. Okay? I mean, we read it and it gives us some perspective on suffering. Job just lived it and it had never been written down before. So he couldn't say, well, you know, this reminds me of that guy in the Old Testament. No, he just had to go through it. But folks, not only did his suffering end, God blessed him way more than ever before. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. So our security is not in our circumstances. Our security is in Christ. Christ alone. I go back every few months at least, Johnny Erickson Tada. I mean, what an amazing individual. Johnny has been a quadriplegic since her mid-teens, and she has done more to advance the kingdom of God than most Christian athletes. I'm not knocking Christian athletes. I thank God for their witness. But I'm just saying, Johnny, in a wheelchair, holding a paintbrush between her teeth while composing songs in her head and painting beautiful images, she's done more for the kingdom than all these people who have their health. And then she gets cancer? Twice? And COVID? And she's still alive. Why? Because God is the one who numbers our days. And he's still using Johnny, who I pray for every day. But he's still using Johnny for his glory. Hallelujah. Nick, with no arms and legs, travels the world, bringing glory to God. All the problems are temporary. So whatever you and I are dealing with, and I hope you don't have to deal with a lot of junk, but if you do, God is using that for your good, not just for the good of others. He's using it for your good and for his glory. We sing that, we say it, we believe that here. Viscerally, it's like, God, did you see this coming? Because I didn't. How long is this going to last? I want us to understand our security is in him. If the corporation goes under, it's okay. If they take us and throw us in prison somewhere, it's because God has some people there we're supposed to talk to. Okay? Paul says to the Philippians, hey, don't worry about me. God has used my chains for the advancement of the gospel. God will bless you no matter what. So this does not feel like a blessing. Well, it's going to be used for good. Well, I don't see why I should have to deal with this. Well, I don't either, but God does. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And he is working all things together for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. Our security is in him. Remember that next time the question comes up about who you're working for. You're working for him. You're working for him. No matter who your boss is, you do what you do for his glory. Slaves, even when the master's not around to see what you're doing, do the right thing, God says. Why? Because you're doing it for him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.